talk about how we're bringing the Geula and how we're bringing the building of the Beit HaMikdash, which is the most important thing. Up until about a year ago, my main topic that I would go and lecture about is my near-death experience. People didn't want to hear about anything else. They told me, okay, we have enough rabbis. We don't need another one. Tell us your experience. That's the juicy part. But unfortunately, I found out that in the last 2 years, I found out that a fraction of the people of the world, including all different people, are really educated about the coming of Mashiach. To a point that people told me all sorts of weird things of, it's not really real, it's not true, it's just another way of keeping us having hope, it's not coming, we've been waiting for so long, why now? All these excuses. The reality is that we've been hearing about the coming of Mashiach from the first day the world was created. Just open Sefer Bereshit. The first verse, it says, Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. Hashem created the heaven and the earth. And the next verse that it's talking about, ve-ha-aretz et ha-choshech al pnei tehom, ve-ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei ha-mayim. And this second verse is talking about the four exiles, and ruach Elokim merachefet al pnei ha-mayim. This is ruach shel Mashiach. This is what the Midrash says. So for the first day that the world was created, we're already talking about Mashiach. The world was created for the coming of Mashiach. And we had to go through 5,776 years till the coming of Mashiach. I mean, we always had the option of bringing it much faster. But the fact is that we didn't bring it faster. We always had the option of we always got two dates when Mashiach is coming. Beita ve'achishena. Beita means in its time, a due date. Like a woman who goes to the doctor when she's pregnant, he calculates the weeks and he tells her, this is the due date. 99% of the times you don't hit the due date, a week before, a day before, a week later. So we always had a due date. But we always had the option, what's called v'achishena, I'll bring it faster. Do a lot of mitzvot, learn a lot of Torah, do a lot of charity, I'll bring it faster. The thing is that I got very, very annoyed that everywhere that I went to, and I just mentioned the word Mashiach, people got antsy. Don't talk about it. No, it's not coming. So I did a very, very long research, about 2 years, and I found over 300 sources in our Torah, in Tanakh, in the Zohar, in the Gemara, in the books of Kabbalah, hundreds of sources that point exactly when the Geula has to come, how it has to happen, all the stages, everything is predicted, everything is predestined, everything was already written. We're just going on this path. And the point is that we are waiting for Mashiach for so long, but the time of Beita is now. And of course, many people say, we've been waiting for so long, why should it happen now? Why now? Because exactly like a woman who has to give birth, she has a due date. So you know, a woman is not going to give birth 4 months before. It's actually very dangerous. More than that, nobody stays more than that. Baruch Hashem, I have 6 kids. My wife has a habit, every kid is 2 weeks late. And every time we go to the doctor says, we got to induce you, we got to operate, we got to this. And every time we tell the doctor the same thing, don't worry. The last one also went out. Nobody's staying in there. It's okay. A few more days, he'll come out. The thing is that the due date, we already passed the due date. We already passed the due date. The due date was already, according to all the sources, in Tafshin Ayin Bet, in 2011, 2012. This is the due date that all the sources give. There's different time frames, but we have a buffer between Tafshin Ayin and Tafshin Ayin Vav, which is these are the years that we are. These are the times that Mashiach can come. And there's bemet hundreds and hundreds of sources. And this is not what I want to talk about tonight. You can find, I have 3 lectures online that they're talking about the coming of Mashiach. Just go and look at it on my website. It has a lot of information. Not only that, I compiled a lot of these sources into this book. You can later on get it. That's not the point of tonight. The point is tonight is to understand that the coming of Mashiach is right at the doorstep.
What is your website?
I'll give you later all the information. I have. So the website where you can find it is www, and it's called atzmut.com, A-T-Z-M-U-T.com. All my classes, everything is posted over there. And if you go, when you go to the website, just search for, just do in the search box, Mashiach. All the videos about Mashiach will pop up. But the one that I was talking about, it's a 2.5 hour lecture. It's called Mashiach is Coming, Are You Ready? And it's a very, very, very good lecture. It got 40,000 views within 3-4 days. And I'm not exaggerating, I'm Bennett not exaggerating. 2-3 weeks after the lecture was posted, I got about 3,000 emails of people telling me that they applied for Nefesh B'Nefesh, asking me what moving company to use to go to Eretz Israel. I got unbelievable emails of people getting the point, because the point is that Mashiach is coming any second. And the same way that right before the baby comes, you get all excited. So the point is that nobody's excited that Mashiach is coming. Nobody. Go now to any person and tell him, do you believe that Mashiach can come tonight? I'm building a house. Let me finish the house. And then he can come. I have to finish college in a year. I just got married. I didn't get married. All these excuses. Just today I met this young man. He tells me, I don't really want Mashiach to come so fast because I'm not married yet. So I don't know. I told him, don't worry. Mashiach will be in the Sadr HaDikudashim. What are you worried about? The point is that nobody is excited about the fact that Mashiach is coming, and nobody really realizes what we're missing by the fact that we don't have the Beit HaMikdash. So now we're in the 9 days, and we're supposed to mourn. So, okay, so we don't eat meat. For some people, it's not mourning. For some people, it's a joy. So some people take it the extra mile. They don't shower. They don't wash their clothes. They don't do this. They don't do that. That's not really mourning. That's really, really not mourning. And the mourning is basically the external part of it. The point is that we don't even know what we're missing. And you know when we realize what we really appreciate is when we don't have it. And you know, Baruch Hashem, I have the zchut of constantly traveling around the world. And I'm very little with my family. Now I'm here for 2.5 weeks. I'm going back to Israel this Thursday. I'm 10 days in Israel just for my boys, both of their birthdays and Tisha B'Av, and then a U-turn back to the West Coast for 3 weeks. I'm coming back 1 week, I U-turned into the UK. So I don't have much time with my family. And you know when do I really, really appreciate them? When I'm away. Then I appreciate my wife, how special she is. I appreciate my kids. We appreciate things when we don't have them. The problem is that when they're around us, we get annoyed by them. And when they leave, then we cry, oh, why? So the Kadosh Baruch Hu realized that we don't really appreciate what we had, so he took it away. There's a reason why we had 2 holy temples and they were destroyed. It wasn't by chance, there was a plan. The point is that right now we want to get the 3rd Beit HaMikdash, and we want it to come fast. We don't even know what we're missing. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu is already realizing that we are in such a bad place that he's making sure that each and every person in the world, he's taking something away from that person. Why? So we're all going to be pushed into a wall. The prophet of Daniel says that if the generation, any generation, but if the generation will have the merit, im zachu, then the Geula is going to come on clouds of glory. The Ben Ish Chai says this will be kepshuto, meaning that when it's talking about clouds, we are going to sit on clouds, as crazy as it sounds. But the prophet of Zechariah says that if the generation will not merit, im lo zachu, then the Mashiach is going to come ani v'rochev al chamor, poor and riding on a donkey. Now the Mashiach is not going to ride on a donkey. Rather, the parable behind it is that the generation will be poor. Will have spiritual poverty, meaning that the majority of the generation will not even have any connection to religion. And even the frum people will have spiritual poverty, because their mind is not going to be so much on the Torah. Their mind is going to be on the mortgage and on the lease and on this and a nicer car and all these nonsense. When it says that anir v'rochev al chamor, riding on a donkey, donkey is chamor. A donkey, of course, it's a parable. Chamor, donkey in Hebrew is chamor, comes from the word chomriyut, materialism. And we see that in our generation, everybody's slave to materialism. The entire world is based on materialism. Doesn't matter who. 99% of the people of the world are slaves to materialism. And you can have a very long beard and still be a slave to materialism. The new phone comes out, everybody jumps on it. Why? Because it has an inch bigger screen. Every little thing, we're like constantly, we're slaves to materialism. So when it says that Mashiach is going to have to be riding on a donkey, meaning that Mashiach is going to have to ride on the physicality and break it. Break the physicality. That's why we see that now, right before Mashiach is coming, then everything that has to do with finance and physical is constantly crushing and breaking. In 2007, when it was time for the Geula to start, that's when the markets in the real estate crashed. Now there's a prophet by the prophet named Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel ben Shaltiel. He is the great-grandson of the king of Jehoiachin, who was a direct descendant of David HaMelech, of King David. He says, he has a prophecy in the book of Zerubbabel that he says, before Mashiach will come, we're going to have possession of Yerushalayim for 40 years, and then will be a period of 5 years of Mashiach ben Yosef, and then we're ready for the birth of Mashiach ben David. And when did we start having a possession over Yerushalayim? In 1967. Take 40 years from 1967, that's 2007. That's when Mashiach ben Yosef, the period of 5 years of Mashiach ben Yosef, which means 2012. 2012, again, to Tafshin Ayin Bet, same, everything funnels into Tafshin Ayin Bet. Amazingly, the Met, amazingly, but we do not, please do not take my words out of context. We know that Mashiach ben Yosef, we're not going to know who he is, and we know that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to have to die before the birth of Mashiach ben David. In 2012, two great tzaddikim by the name of Yosef died. One of them is the Rav El Yashiv, whose name was Yosef, and the other one is the grandson of the Baba Sali, Rabbi Abuchatzera, that was actually murdered, exactly like we know that Mashiach ben Yosef is going to have to be killed. And the first, but three generations back, the Rabbi Eliashiv, who's known as the Leshem Shvo V'Achalama, in one of his books, which are books of Kabbalah, he's saying exactly the calculation when Mashiach ben Yosef is going to die, and he's giving the date, Kafchet Betamuz, and this is exactly when the grandson of Abuchatzera was murdered. So don't take my words out of context and saying, oh, okay, that's Mashiach ben Yosef. We don't know, but you just see how things are parallel. And exactly at the death of Mashiach, at the time when Mashiach ben Yosef, the period of Mashiach ben Yosef should start, we see that that's when all the physical structure of the world started falling down. In 2007, it started with the crash of the real estate, and then after that the banks and all the mortgages, and then Madoff, and slowly, slowly everything started crushing. In 2007, the great Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yitzchak Ginzburg, said now is the shift where the world is starting to shift from physical into spiritual. And we see what slowly, slowly, the world is losing its value. This is one of the greatest simanim, the signs before Mashiach is coming, that the physical world will slowly, slowly crumble to a point that when Mashiach comes, we're not going to have money. There's not going to be currency. There's not going to be banks. We're not going to have credit cards. We're not going to have it. Excuse me?
E-credit.
Exactly. No, we're not going to have this. There's not going to be such thing as money. It's all going to be, it's going to be out. That's why the smart people right now, whatever money they have, they don't invest into more money. They invest into Torah and to mitzvot and to charity, because that's where the value will be. So we see that in our generation, slowly, slowly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking from each one something. Why? To put pressure on everybody. And unfortunately, the reality is that every human being in this generation is suffering from something. Is pushed to a wall. One person lost his money, one person can barely make money, one person cannot get married, one person cannot have kids, one person has a problem with the kids, one person, all his kids are off the derech. Everyone has something he has to deal with. At the time when the Jews were in Mitzrayim 3,300 years ago, they were slaves. And Chazal explained this slavery as that they were slaved for avodah kasha, hard work, bechomer velvenim, with the material and with bricks. Shlomo HaMelech says, Ma shaya hu shiye, what was will be, and chadash tachat hashemesh, there's nothing new under the sun. The exact same first exile will be the exact last exile. So if you want to compare it parallel, we also are exact same slaves like at the time of Mitzrayim. Now we look at the Haggadah and we picture like the Bnei Israel carrying bricks and the Egyptians whipping them. No. They were living in Mitzrayim. They were living in New York, a big city. And they were slaves to the materialism. They weren't whipped. We didn't build the pyramids. It's a myth. We didn't build them. We built Pitom and Ramses. It's a total different place. We didn't even had nothing to do with the pyramids. The Egyptians built it. Look in the Gemara, Masechet Pesachim. We built Pitom and Ramses, and not only that, whatever we built, right away sunk in the ground. So there's no remaining of anything that the Jews built. That was the psychological warfare, that everything that we built, right away it was destroyed. But the main slavery was Avodah Kasha, Vechomer Velvenim. Hard work with material, Chomer, Velvenim. So we're suffering from the same thing. First of all, we have Avodah Kasha. Avodah Kasha, it's hard work. Now, not hard work to go and work and to make a dollar. Our Avodat Hashem is Kasha. It's extremely hard to serve the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's very, very hard. I don't know anyone who runs out of their house at 5 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, I'm so happy to daven nets. Everything is hard. Oh, another Shabbos meal. Oh, I have to do this. Our serving of Hashem is hard. It's hard. When he's talking about Chomer Elvenim, Chomer is materialism. And we're stuck in this materialism. I have to have a nice car because everybody has a nice car. And I have to be dressed a certain way because everybody's dressed a certain way. And I have to look a certain way because everybody looks like that. And I have to have a nice phone because everybody has a nice phone. We're constantly in this battle how I'm ruled and I'm subdued to this Chomer, to materialism. But worse than that, when it's talking about bricks, the Jews didn't carry bricks. And we don't carry bricks. But if you take the connotation of carrying bricks, it's a burden. Somebody who's carrying bricks is carrying a burden. And each and every one of us is carrying a burden. Something is sitting on their heart like a burden. And no one, hold on, no one.
You're saying that the Jews didn't carry bricks, we read about it in the Pesukim.
Of course. En mikra yotze midei pshuto. The story was exactly how, what happened is the reality is how the story says. But the Torah has many, many more meanings beyond the actual story. Everything in the Torah, yeah, you have the pshat, you have the story itself. But you also have the remez and the drash and the sod. So we're right now looking in a more deeper level. What does it mean that they were carrying bricks? So to compare it to our generation, we also carrying bricks. We're carrying burdens and everybody has a burden. And nobody in the world can raise their hand right now and say, my life is totally perfect.
I raised my hand, but I wasn't
going to
say that.
But I mean,
is it really that different today than it was 40 years ago? I mean, people always carry burdens and
not like today.
And pain.
Not like today.
What's the difference?
Today, everybody's carrying that. That's a whole different thing. Listen, I can't compare every little thing. The reality is that there were times, you know, go back to the 70s. People had a lot of money, business was easy. Of course all generations have had problems and burdens and difficulties. But look now in our generation, the difficulties are already unbearable. The pain is unbearable. Almost any second house.
You know, I think this is your take on things. Because when you look at history in general, we've never had it as good as it is today. Many, many levels, even as Jews living in America compared to Jews living in Europe, compared to Jews 100 years ago, I'm not even touching.
What about in Germany in the 1800s? They had it just very good also.
The thing is like this, you can debate everything, you can debate everything, and you're right to some extent, but the reality is that if you're looking at it in a very global look, not global, look at it in a very cosmic look. Excuse me?
People are lost.
Yeah.
Our generation is the worst of the worst of the worst. Yeah. Always we had suffering. We always had problems, but we also had good things. Don't look at it right now at every generation to magnify every generation. Because in every generation there was good, and every generation there was bad. But if you're looking in a very cosmic way, look at it as a klal, as a general thing. Our generation is the worst.
Not only the
truth,
the world
at large. Excuse me? Yeah. Excuse me? In always, in the type of the burdens. Right now, if you want to sum it up, our generation is the worst of the worst. But I think what we should do, hold on, what we should do, let me go through the topic.
Let me leave the, all the questions.
Yeah, let me go, let me... Let me go through the point and then we can debate. Everything is debatable. The point is to focus on the point and not to look at everything, all the distractions. This is the problem in our generation, is that we constantly, somebody puts a point on the table and you right away move it off and you look at too many distractions. If you focus on the point, you get the point. And our problem, one of the many problems in our generation, somebody comes and presents a problem and then everybody debates it. Don't debate, just look at the problem, pull the point out to take something out of it. So the bottom line is, without comparing other generations, and to segregate right now all the other generations, I do not believe that anyone in our generation can lift up their hand and says, everything in my life is 100% perfect. There's no such a thing. Don't compare it now to other generations. Well, let's concentrate on our generation. And in our generation now, everybody's dealing with hardship, with problems, whether it's in Parnassa, whether it's with health, whether it's with their children. Some person can get married, this can get a shidduch, this can get children. Everybody's dealing with something, and unfortunately in our generation, people are dealing with six things at the same time. The point is that the Kadosh Baruch Hu now is pushing everybody to a corner, so we're all going to scream for Mashiach. Because we didn't scream for 2,000 years, we didn't scream for Mashiach too much. The Holocaust didn't cause us to scream for Mashiach. The thing is that Kadosh Baruch Hu just wants our attention. When I come home, okay, wrong example. A normal father comes home. Hello, I'm home. You know what's the reaction from the kids?
Yeah.
That's the reaction. Or many other things. If it's not like this, then it's like this. So what does the father do? I have a lollipop. I have candy. Zip! The kids run. Give me the candy. And they go. The father wants attention, so he brings the lollipop. The kids doesn't care about that. They just give me the lollipop. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants our attention. So sometimes he gives us lollipop. Sometimes he takes away the lollipop. He just wants your attention. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that he's pushing everybody to a corner that we're going to scream, give me my lollipop. Kadosh Baruch Hu just wants our attention, so he starts pushing everybody to corners. And bemet forget about previous generations. I don't care about previous generations. I care about my generation. And I see every human being, I'm not exaggerating, I'm not saying it to Chas V'Shalom to show off or anything. I get about 1,000 emails every day. Because of my entire system is online, I lecture every night, I travel around the world, I put all my stuff on the internet, it brings in it the same amount. And I'm not exaggerating. A normal day is 1,000 emails. I have three girls sitting on a computer just every day going through emails. Every day, thousands of people, they want to talk to me because they have problems. Nobody calls and tells me, I'm so happy, I just wanted to let you know that I'm fulfilled with joy. The messages that I get are horrors. And I get on the phone, I spend 3-4 hours a day on the phone, private calls. I never heard anybody saying good things. They're all saying bad things and horrible things. So, bemet, not to compare other generations, I care about my generation. And the problem is that the prophet of Zechariah says that when he's going to, if Chas V'Shalom, we don't have the merit, it says in the Gemara very clearly, if we merit, then Mashiach is going to come what's called Keheref Ayin. Blink and the Mashiach is here. Im lo zachu, ma'amid ani alei melech. I'm going to put a king on them. Kshegzerotav kashot kashel Haman. That his decrees are worse than Haman. U'machziram lamutav. And I'm going to make them do tshuva. And in every generation we have a Haman. Every generation we have a Haman. First it comes in the spiritual level. Haman is a klipa. It's a descendant, it's a manifestation of the klipa of Amalek. The Amalek is the klipa that cools us down. You come to a shiur, you get all hyped up, all excited, you go out of the door, all the air goes down. Relax. Don't need to get so excited. We read it every day when we pray, Asher karcha baderech, that he cools you down. Amalek comes to cool you down constantly. Don't get so excited. His great-great-great-grandson, Haman, is worse than him. So we always have an Haman in the spiritual level. But we also have an Haman in the physical level. And every generation we have a Haman that comes to destroy us. We read it in the Haggadah. So last generation, we had a Haman in Germany, Yimach Shimo, he killed 6 million. Every generation we have an Haman. We have an Haman right now in Iran. He's not case enough just to press the button, that's it. The point is that we don't want to get to that point. But we do have a melech, kshegzerotav kashot keshel Haman, that it's oppressing us. Why? Because when I turn to all different directions for help and nothing helps, then I turn to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. En lanu al milismoch al avinu shebashamayim. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu is pushing everybody to corners because he wants us already to scream for the coming of Mashiach. The point is that the topic is very, very long. The most important is that what do I do? Okay, I understand, we don't have Mashiach, we're suffering, we don't have Beit HaMikdash, we're missing it. Tachlis, what should I do? What should I do? So if I want to reflect now on these 9 days, everything in this world, everything in my Avodat Hashem comes down from the spiritual realm and everything comes through what's called the 10 Sefirot. We have 10 Sefirot. For a very short side note to go out, there are 36 sins in the Torah that when a person does them, the result is called karet. Person chas v'shalom, it's a little crumb on Pesach, v'nechirta ha'nefesh ha'i, the whole soul, the whole rope gets cut off. Person desecrates Shabbat, all the forbidden relations, drive, eats on Yom Kippur, 36 sins. The result is that we know that these sefirot are compared also to a rope, like to a channel. Chas v'shalom, a person does one of these severe sins and he cuts off the rope. In the spiritual term of it, that he cuts his connection. But he cuts only the first 9 sefirot. The top sefira, which is called Keter, that cannot be touched. And that was because Avraham Avinu made a deal with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and he told him, you take all 9 sefirot, but you leave me 1 sefira that the Jew can do tshuva. That's why the letters of Karet and Keter, same letters, different order. So the Keter cannot be touched. Keter is a crown. Of course, the Kabbalah teaches us that there's chitzoniut keter, the external part of the keter, the internal part of the keter, pnimiut keter, but the keter cannot be touched. So we're operating on 9 sefirot. We damaged it for 2,000 years. Because of our sins, galinu marzeno. We were exiled from our land. We did some sins. Now we have to fix it. So when we do tshuva, we have to start fixing the sefirot, one after the other. So if you want to look at the 9 days, we have 9 days for each day corresponding to 1 sefirah, that we have to start fixing 1 sefirah, another sefirah, another sefirah. And the 10th day, Yud Av, that's already we reached to the Keter. That's why the soul of Mashiach was already born in the 9th day. But the real, first of all, the real destruction was on Yud Be'av. It started at Tet Be'av. The point to look at it is not to concentrate on the nonsense that is around the fact. In the Torah, we have two options. Two ways to look at things, Ikar and Tafel. What's Ikar is the main part and Tafel is everything around it. Why? Because we tend to look at the Tafel, what's not important so much, but we don't look at what's important. That's why when I come and say we're suffering, no, but the previous generations were suffering too. Yes, this is the Tafel, of course. The point is to look at now. It doesn't matter what said 10 years ago, it matters now. So we have the opportunity to hasten and to fix it. It all depends on us. At the end of the day, it depends on us. So the Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to do tshuva, each and every one in their way, and each and every one has to fix their arba amot, their 4 amot in the world, in order to fix the destruction so we can get to the point that I can rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Now, why did I mention Haman before? Everybody knows there's a famous war. That the Zohar is talking about it in many different places. The Gemara is talking about it. That before the coming of Mashiach will be a big war, Gog and Magog. The Zohar is talking about 3 wars. 2 wars are going to be way before the coming of Mashiach, which were World War I and World War II. The Zohar is talking about that they're going to be away from Yerushalayim. The 3rd one will be next to Yerushalayim. We already see with our own eyes that the war already started. Started in 2013 in Tafshin Ein Gimel, exactly how all the prophecies said. All the prophecies, exactly everything, are falling into place, that the war is going to be in the land east of Yerushalayim, which is Syria. We see everything in front of our eyes. The point is, when the Zohar is talking about this war, in Parashat Vayera, it's talking about 3 wars. It's talking about Milchemet Gigim. Milchemet Gigim is a war of thoughts. Not necessarily nuclear bombs. The war starts in the spiritual level. If we don't do anything, then it manifests into the physical level. But we are now concentrating on the spiritual war. And it's talking about Milchemet Gigim. Gigim is thoughts, war of thoughts. I like calling it the war of screens, because we're all magnets to a screen. All day long we're looking at a screen. We're carrying like this radioactive box that is like vibrating in my pocket all the time. And it does ding ding and everybody jumps on it. This is this war of screens that it's hypnotizing my screen, my thoughts. And it's going into my subconscious, and people think, oh no, I'm doing very good things. People tell me, oh, what are you talking about? I go to YouTube and I see Torah classes. Yeah, you're watching 10 minutes of a Torah class and then 5 hours of all the junk that's the suggested one. The point is that we are all hypnotized. Our thoughts are being controlled. This is the war that the Zohar is talking about, the war of thoughts, and we're all hypnotized into a screen and our thoughts are being controlled. Now when the Zohar is calling it Milchemet Gigim, excuse me? Gigim, thoughts.
Thoughts.
Thoughts, a thought. It's Aramaic. Well, if Hebrew is Machshava. In Aramaic, it's talking about Gigim. The Zohar is talking about Aramaic. Now, why did I mention Haman? If you look in the Megillah, how is Haman called? Hagagi. Now, this is not his last name. Now, in some congregations, you only make noise when you're saying Haman Hagagi. Some congregations, they do the noise in Haman. Some congregations in Haman HaGagi. Why? Because this Haman, this klipa, is the klipa that's controlling our thoughts. This is Haman HaGagi. In the Megillah, we have all the secrets of everything. The secret, the holiday of Purim, when Mashiach is going to come, this is going to be the most important holiday. This is the most holiest day of the year. That we say that Yom Kippur is Kepurim, it's like Purim. It's such a holy day that we don't fast, we don't not work, seemingly like a regular day, because it's way above Seder Ishtalshelot, way above the descending chain. Now, in the Megillah, how's the Megillah called? Megillat Esther. Esther is not the name of the hero. Her name was Hadassah. Esther comes from the word Hester. Concealment. So in the Megillah is all the answers to everything. And we see that in the Megillah, it's talking about four mitzvot. Four mitzvot that everybody has to do, even women. Women are not exempt from that. Amazingly, all these four mitzvot starts with the letter Mem. Now the world, you see that the world was created with the letter Bet. Bereshit bara Elokim et ha-shamayim ve-et ha-aretz. Every word, every letter in the Jewish letters have a meaning to it. The world was created with the letter Bet. If you look, it has a roof, it has a side, it has a bottom, but the left side is open. This is called Ruach Tzfonit, the northern wind where the Yetzer Hara can go in. So Hashem created the world with a gap, so there will be the option of a klipa, of a Yetzer Hara coming in. But right when we left Mitzrayim, what was the first thing that the Kadosh Baruch Hu told us? V'asitim l'migdash v'shachanti betocham. Now there's a great question. Why is he saying betocham? Betocham is plural. He should say betocho, in it. The Rizal comes and explains it, take the word and break it, betoch mem. So the mikdash is betoch, in the mem, but it's a mem stuma, it's a square. It's not an open one. Not in the bottom and not like the bet. And this corresponds to these four mitzvot that start with the letter mem. What are the mitzvot? Mikra Megillah, Mishloach Manot, Matanot Levyonim, Mishte V'Simcha. Four mems. These are the four mitzvot. These are the secret, how I reverse the problem, how I overcome the Haman, and how I hasten the Geula. Mikra Megillah corresponds to learning Torah. Everybody has to learn Torah. Women too. Women also have to learn Torah. They might not need to sit in a Bet Midrash, but they need to learn Halachot of Shabbat. They need to learn Halachot of Basar and Chalav. They need to learn Halachot of Tziniyut, of Chinuch. They're in the home. And women do need to learn. They have to learn. 1 hour of a woman learning is like 100 hours of a man learning. The fact that she's not obligated, that's a whole different thing. But she still can learn. So everybody has to learn, including the kids. Same way that the kids are obligated in those four mitzvot, also kids have to learn. The second thing that it's talking about matanot levyonim. Tzedakah, charity, very simple. It doesn't have to be the only with a check. It's charitable acts, anything. Anything that is a charitable act. Of course, checks are good, but it has to be constantly matanot levyonim. And the third one is mishloach manot. What's mishloach manot? It's not a bag of candy. This is the kids get the bag of candy. Mishloach manot, what's the concept of mishloach manot? I give you, you give me. It's Avat Israel, only Avat Israel. And the first one, the fourth one is Mishteh v'Simcha. Ivdu et Hashem v'Simcha. You cannot serve Hashem without happiness. We are being judged by the fact of Ekev asher lo avatem et Hashem v'Simcha v'tov levav. You have to serve Hashem v'Simcha. Doesn't matter how much you owe to the credit card, you still have to serve Hashem v'Simcha. Doesn't matter how much problems you have, it has to be v'Simcha. And if you follow these four memim, you close the Mishkan. You close it. There's no place for the Yetzer Hara to come. This is how you overcome Haman. And we don't want the Haman of our generation to manifest into the physical world. If it will manifest in the physical world, Hashem Yerachem. You know what it says in the Gemara? In Masechet Sanhedrin, when it's talking about the coming of Mashiach, it says, Yate velo achmine. I don't want to be there. I don't want to see it, and I don't want to be there. And amazingly, when it's talking about Haman of the generation, in this little line, what the Gemara says, Yate velo achmine, it's talking about, it's already telling us, who's the Haman? Very simple. Take the words, Yate velo achmine, move the Aleph from the right, from the left word, Chaminei. The guy from Iran. And look at the first few words. How do we call the guys in Iran? Ayatulot. Yate yud yud tafei ayatula. Yate velo achmine. This is the Haman of the generation. So even then, 2,000 years ago, the Gemara is telling us very clear. This is you're going to have an Haman. Don't let him come to the physical level. Because if he's going to manifest into this physical world, yate velo achmine, I don't want to see it. I do not want to be there. But it's in our hands to get our act together, exactly like they did 2,000 years ago, and they made a miracle. The miracle of Purim. We can do that. We can learn Torah. We can do tzedakah. We can have Avat Israel, the hard one, and to be happy. And this is the secret. And if you want to reflect on something on these 9 days, it's not about how stinky I am because I didn't take a shower for a whole week, or if I didn't wash my clothes or I did wash my clothes. To reflect, wait a minute, I was pagamti, I made a blemish in all these 9 sefirot. How do I fix it? How do I climb up? I climb up with all these 4 things, and this is how I get to the point that at least if I can't affect the entire world, let me affect my part. So we have a very strong responsibility to bring the coming of Mashiach. It's each and every one of us. People say, oh no, let the rabbis worry about it. No. Each and every one of you has the ability to bring the Geulah. And people tell me, listen, I'm not so observant, and what is my mitzvah worth? Your mitzvah is worth billions and billions of megabytes of power. You don't even know what your mitzvah is worth. You don't have to have a 2-foot-long beard to say, oh, my mitzvahs are worth something. My mitzvah is huge. Every little thought that is coming to my mind and I'm from pushing that thought away, one time I close my mouth, I'm saying a lie. Anything. You and you and you and each one of you can be the one that tilts the entire world. And it's not how religious you are. We do not impress Hashem with the external things. You can be the most not religious. One act. So much more so when you are from. It's these little things that each and every one of us, you have to look in the mirror in the morning saying, I can bring the Geulah. I am important. The same way that 9 men are counting on me to a minyan, the entire Klal Israel is counting on me for today, not to lie, and not to gossip, and not to look it the wrong way, and to learn Torah. And instead of being on Facebook for 4 hours, I'll learn Torah for 3 hours. Something. The point is that we have not only the ability, we have the merit, and we have the obligation. We have the obligation of bringing the Geulah, and we don't even know what we're missing. So if you want to concentrate on something on these 9 days, it's not about necessarily the destruction. The destruction happened already. Concentrate on the building of the Beit HaMikdash.
You spoke about Keter, which is untouchable because it's a promise for Abraham. So we have 9 more sefirot. How do we work them in 9 days? And what are
you can't do it in 9 days. You can do it in 9 seconds if you want. A person can do tshuva in his heart and reverse everything in one shot. It has nothing to do with 9 days. The 9 days, is to take every day and say, okay, now I'm here, I need to work on myself. How do I work on myself? So I have to learn Torah. Excuse me?
You mentioned 9 specific skills.
Exactly.
So I'm level, like Ches, God is a sphera, I don't know, what sphera is another one. Is there a correspondence? And is there a specific...
The correspondence is, since we don't have time, is that you concentrate on these four things that I told you. Don't go again, like I told you, on the tafel, on the global look. Look now at what am I doing now? I just gave I just explained why 9 days. Why wasn't it on the 12th of Av? Everything is calculated. You know what we say when the month of Adar comes in? Mishenichnas Adar, marbim besimcha. What do we say? Mishenichnas Av, mematim besimcha. It says that the times of the Geula, the days of Av, will all transform into days of happiness. So now it's the time to transform it into happiness, not to necessarily reflect on the destruction. The destruction, we're already suffering for 2,000 years from the destruction. Don't look at the destruction now. Look at how am I building it. How am I transforming it into days of happiness? Don't get caught on the technicality right now. Focus on what you need to do. And you need to wake up tomorrow in the morning and say, okay, what's my agenda? What's my agenda? I'm praying. Doesn't matter. You can be a woman. You have to pray. Women think that they're exempt from praying. They're not. Women have to pray at least once a day. They're not bound by the time, but they have to pray at least once a day. And your prayer is like 500 minyanim. So we need your help. I'm not joking. One woman praying is like a whole shul full of men. We need your prayer. I'm not joking. We need everything, every little thing that we do. You wake up in the morning, going, how am I being a much better parent today? How am I tolerating right now my spoiled child and I'm not screaming at him when he spilled something on the floor and losing it? Okay, so he spilled something on the floor. I have a problem with anger. Deal with it. If you, in your mind, saying, okay, what's my agenda today? My agenda is to pass another day and then go to sleep with a headache? No, my agenda today is how am I reshaping the world? How every second of the day, I can do something. I can affect the world. I can affect my kids. I can allow my husband to go and pray in a minyan and go to a shiur. And we'll work together. I'll let him go to a shiur. He'll let me go to a shiur. Why should I? Don't need to concentrate on all the... We tend to concentrate on all the negative things. Don't concentrate on that. Concentrate on how I can reverse. Instead of concentrating on the days of Av that we're diminishing the happiness. No, concentrate on how I can transform it into happiness. And the point is, when you understand that everything comes from the Kadosh Baruch Hu, so why should I be sad? You know why we become sad? Because we have an ego. That's it. If I will push my ego away, there's no reason to be sad. Why? Because that's the Ratzon of the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Kadosh Baruch Hu wants. If he wants the Kadosh Baruch Hu for the business deal to close, it will close. If he doesn't want it to close, it's not going to close. Hashem runs the world. If I make my own will, then I'll constantly going to clash with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. If I subdue myself to the master of the universe, everything will happen exactly how it's supposed to happen. And why should I be sad about that? Etzev is the worst midah. Sadness. When you're thinking with it, it's kind of chutzpah. How dare you be sad? You're not accepting what Hashem is giving you? So of course everything is easier said than done, but the point is to take out from tonight is that each and every one of us has an obligation. We have a lot of things to do, and the time is running. And instead of concentrating on all the tafel and everything around, is waking up in the morning, sitting for 5 minutes and saying, okay, what is my day? What am I doing today? How am I utilizing my day? How am I going to be a little bit nicer to my kids today? A little bit more patient with my husband today? A little bit more patient with my neighbors? How am I applying? This is even harder. But how am I applying with myself, she said. How am I applying all these things to my life? I'm only going to tell you one thing and I want to finish. I have a student that Hashem Merachem, a few months ago, he was diagnosed that Hashem Merachem has a tumor in his head. Now he was born into a religious family, but he doesn't do anything. Doesn't keep Shabbat, doesn't eat kosher, doesn't care about anything. And a few months ago he got diagnosed, and for 3 weeks he was the tzaddik of the generation. He did not miss a minyan, learned Torah all day long, all his money was to charity, was running around Brooklyn apologizing to everything. He turned the whole world around. And when I told him, when I approached him, he told him, listen, what are my options? One option is that I'm going. So at least I better get my act together. I want to come up there clean. But what's my other option? I don't want to die. I'm young. So I need to get on Hashem's best side. That's what he said. I need to get on Hashem's best side. How do I get on Hashem's best side? So I told him, why did you have to find out that you're about to die, Shem Yerachem, in order to be so frum? What, you needed a sword on your neck to get your act together? The miracle was that the doctors told him after 3 weeks, don't worry, nothing there.
You made a mistake.
Not a mistake. I think with him being how he was for 3 weeks, he was really was able to transform the gzirah. The Kadosh Baruch Hu just pushed into a corner. And he told me, I learned my lesson. The point is not to wait till I'm pushed into a wall. Why can't I be super duper frum without being pushed to a wall? Why do I have to suffer? Why do I have to get to a point to the last minute to change myself? And the point is that I know it's hard. I'm being realistic. I know it's hard. Avodah kasha. It's hard for everybody. Serving God is not easy. But we're almost done. It's the end of the race. It's the last few breaths, a few more steps, and we're done. The point is that many people don't understand that we have a few more steps. It's a few more steps. All we need a few last breaths, and we're done. And we don't even know what we're missing. So B'ezrat Hashem, we should all have the koach and the zchut and the power and this consciousness to go out of this door tonight and saying, okay, what am I doing tonight? I'm going to start saying Kriyat Shema Lamita tonight. I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'll right away wash my hands and say Birkot HaShachar in the morning, not at 11 o'clock. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, I'm going to let me what I'm doing. Let me spend 5 more minutes with my kids when I'm not upset, when I'm relaxed. Let me do this. What can I do today? If I go to sleep and I did not count on my list 5 acts of charity, don't go to sleep. Don't go to sleep. And it's not hard. What's 5? 5 is nothing. 5 is nothing. Just being nice to somebody else. That's charity. It's act of... Yeah. The point is that we're standing in such a place where we all have to join together and we have to demand already for the coming of Mashiach. And now it's the times that we're reflecting, we see how even the energy is this heavy, dark energy. But we have the ability, we have the option of changing it. And that's why Hashem is pushing everyone to a corner to make you realize, okay, so B'ezrat Hashem should merit to see the coming of Mashiach with our own eyes. It should happen very speedy in our day. We should see with our own eyes the coming of Beit HaMikdash. And you have to remember that each and every one of us has the not only the zchut, we have a huge zchut. Thousands of years, our ancestors were slaughtered, and we're getting to see it. So it's a big zchut. You have to understand the zchut. And not only understand the zchut, we also have the obligation to bring it. So B'ezrat Hashem, Hashem should bless you all that you have the koach to bring it. And B'ezrat Hashem, the next time you hear the next lecture should be Be'eretz Yisrael, Beit HaMikdash, the coming of Mashiach. Amen.